The Zone. If you need to know about farming, then you need to know Pam Jahnke. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Well, it looks like the Wisconsin State cranberry growers are going to be welcoming in a new executive director in the next month or two. That's one of the stories I start you off with on a Wednesday morning. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke. You might want to huddle closer. It is a little on the chilly side this morning. In fact, a lot of you have a frost freeze advisory in effect until about 8 a.m. today. The good news from my perspective, the wind is going to die down. But I'll tell you what, the temperatures are not nearly going to be where we'd expect them to be for the 24th day of April. Sunshine on the way today, calmer winds, the daytime highs. Oh, let's see, in the Madison, central Wisconsin, western Wisconsin area, probably touching out around 54 degrees, but that's not going to happen until later this afternoon. Along the lakeshore, you're going to stay chilly all day long. The best you'll see, probably around 44 degrees at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Like I said, for this morning, it's going to stay in the mid to upper 30s, maybe 40s by about lunchtime, 50s if you're lucky by later this afternoon, and then overnight, a calm evening that could again take us with temperatures back down to around freezing. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will paint you a better picture with his forecast on the way. We're also continuing to focus in on Earth Week. Agriculture always says Earth Day is every day on the farm. Stephanie Hoff caught up with one of our young producers on their focus of conservation, sustainability, traceability, and how that turns into an Earth Day message. Plus, perseverance. Anybody in agriculture today, you've got to have perseverance. You know that. It's not just about agriculture, but it is the tie that binds us. Charity Seebecker's got a pretty cool story about how perseverance has led one young woman that's been physically challenged to still be able to find a way to be involved in the rodeo industry. That's all on the way. I start you off this morning with a conversation I had with the new dean of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. His name, Dr. Jonathan Levine. He is going to be taking over the reins of that newly expanded vet school, including more teaching space and soon more hospital space on the UW-Madison campus, officially on August 1st. I thought it would be nice to find out a little bit more about the man behind the position. What motivates him? What goals does he bring to the post? And Dr. Jonathan Levine, where did you come from?
I grew up just a little bit north of New York City, and I went to a small private school, and pretty much everybody in my graduating class was interested in business. And kind of without thinking, really without contemplating things very deeply, I became an economics major. And Cornell University at that time had an ag school, still does, of course, and they offered the opportunity to get economics training. And so it was an in-state institution, was affordable, and so I went in that direction. And what happened to me was I really quickly fell in love with biology and so became a biology major and then got interested in healthcare and actually went to medical school, if you can believe that, for a year before realizing that that wasn't for me. And after a lot of contemplation and encouragement, I turned towards veterinary medicine. I was lucky enough to be admitted back to my alma mater. And, you know, kind of the rest is history. What's interesting, you know, for me is that I learn a lot about myself by doing. I don't know about you, Pam, but it's by dipping my toes in the water and seeing how it feels, I figure things out. And so when I was in vet school, I thought that I would end up in California and surf and be in general practice. And so I actually made it out to California one of the summers in vet school, and I saw the ocean, and I was terrified. And so my friends had me pegged as an academic. They were absolutely right, and through a lot of different twists and turns, I ended up at Texas A&M to do my residency and then came back and became faculty here. And so that's really my journey from childhood to facultyhood. Mm-hmm. And probably one other thing to say is that I had so many great mentors along that journey. From my mom, who was a single mom and fought so hard to ensure that we had great education, to my grandfather, who was a city court judge and taught me a lot about integrity and public service, to scientists and practitioners. I couldn't have got to Texas A&M to start my academic career without them.
Mm-hmm. I do want people to know that, that's fascinating that the ocean turned you around. But tell them you do have hands-on experience, though, with animals, Doc. It's not like you're just academic and have never been on, shall we say, the business end of an animal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a board-certified neurologist. I was residency trained out at TAMU, Texas A&M, and University of Missouri. And most of that training is small animal focused, but I've been around neurologic horses and cattle and goats, for example, and sheep. And, you know, that's a clinical training program. And from the day that I became a board certified neurologist and started working in academia, I also started working in private practice.
Oh.
I don't know if you know that, Pam.
No, I didn't.
And so I've been a consultant for specialty practices, for general practices, for practices focused on animal imaging since 2005. And it's been really critical to my journey to understand what happens out there in the world. Because you're right, if you're siloed in the ivory tower, you can't train your students necessarily effectively, and you don't understand the industry. Probably also important for me to emphasize that for your audience that when I was in undergraduate school and in the ag school at Cornell, I spent a lot of time around folks from with rural backgrounds and had the opportunity to visit their family farms, including a little town called Barker, New York, where one of my best friends came from, a town of 500 people. And at my vet school, we also all were required to have mixed animal experiences. So I've done ambulatory rotations and had experiences at small dairies, at larger, more, I hate to use the word industrial, but industrial dairies. And so that background's been really important to me in my leadership.
Interesting. Now, tell me about Texas A&M. For those of us that have never necessarily investigated it or experienced it, tell me a little bit about the model that goes on at Texas A&M as it relates to my farming audience.
Yeah, well, you know, we're an agricultural university, a land-grant university, and just like Wisconsin, one of our key missions is to educate the state, but also to serve all of the communities in the state. We're a large vet school with a broad reach. So we've got a student class of about 200. That's more than double Madison's student population. We have a branch rural campus that's out in that's partnered with West Texas A&M University out in the Panhandle, focused on beef and other agricultural interests. We also have a strong scientific portfolio that spans infectious disease, clinical trials, you name it, and you know, we've got our arms in it. You know, I think one thing to emphasize, so I've been a faculty member here for about 20 years. I've been a department head for 9. And even though we're a small animal department, we have been very, very intentionally focused on outreach. And a lot of the outreach we do is to rural communities. I don't know if you knew, if you know that. Our programs that we run out of our small animal department are they're pretty varied. One of them is a once-a-month clinic that we do out in a community called Bastrop, where we help underserved elder populations in collaboration with public health and other health professions to ensure that their animals have access to care. Mm-hmm. We also run vaccine clinics in a community called Caldwell, which is quite rural, and help ensure that individuals out there have access to veterinarians. And access to veterinarians in rural America, mm-hmm. as you know, is a huge challenge.
Yeah.
One of the other outreach highlights that we have is our veterinary emergency team, and they've been very, very involved on the Texas-Mexico border with those communities, but also recently out with the Smokehouse Creek fire in West Texas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me more about that, Dr. Levine, because that's one of the first tidbits that I asked the doctor about. That was under your charge, so to speak, that mobilization to help livestock owners, particularly in that Smokehouse Creek fire.
Well, I want to give very well-deserved credit to Deb Zoran. And Deb is a faculty member in my department. She's an incredible person who leads our veterinary emergency team. And she works with very closely with another staff member in my department, Noberto Espedia, Dr. Espedia, who's a military veteran, an incredible support. And she has a very, very sizable team that can deploy out to a variety of different emergencies. And that group, and there were 35, I believe, individuals that were affiliated with the vet team that went out to West Texas. I think they did an amazing job caring for the working dogs that were out there. They also lent assistance to the emergency responders, to cattle that were injured, to some small animals that were injured in that fire. It was one of their longer deployments, and it's a fire that I think the Panhandle community is still recovering from, right, that's really affected their industry.
Dr. Jonathan Levine from Texas A&M University, soon to be the new dean of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine on the UW-Madison campus, effective August 1st, but he's already meeting with a lot of university leaders, agriculture leaders, staff on the campus with the UW Vet School. We'll continue to follow up with Dr. Levine. If you want to hear the entire conversation I had with the incoming veterinarian, pop on over to our podcast, MidwestFarmReport.com, and you'll find it there. Stu Muck, we'll find him next with our weather forecast.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. For spring projects of all sizes, we get you the right products at the right prices. Like 10% off Carlstar Specialty Tires or Laren Inner Tubes. Save $20 on select Hopkins Brake Controllers. 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil start at $22.99 after $5 rebate. And 5 gallons of Mystic Diesel Oil, $49.99 after $20 rebate. We get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Are you in a place where you seem healthy yet lose energy halfway through the day? Your doctor says to rest, but what's really happening?
At Carbon World Health, they look at the root causes, hormone and blood levels, nutrition and hydration, to help you get to a truly healthy place. Boost your energy and embrace your health journey with Carbon World Health, a hormone health and fitness spa.
Madison West and CarbonWorldHealth.com.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' 3 locations in Madison, but you can also shop IgniteGlassandGifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com.
Making a decision on new home furnishings is easy with Lazy Boy. You already know he only cares about the comfort, but it's the luxury and design you crave. You choose the style, patterns, and material while he's imagining himself being seated right in front of the 50-yard line, Call it Lazy Luxury at its finest.
Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison, East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
An industry that feeds the world is definitely an industry worth talking about. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
I want to say thank you to all you folks that used the talk text line yesterday to share with me what's going on in your community with broadband internet. Got quite a wide berth of conversations from everywhere nearby, like Alto, Wisconsin, to St. Lucas, Iowa. Also talking about the Columbia County area and Portage and trying to get some of those broadband internet connections hooked up. You can always feel free to share what's going on in your community on our talk text line. Maybe it's broadband. Maybe it's something coming up with fairs. Maybe there's a special event. Whatever it is, share it with us. We'll share it with the audience. All you have to do is use 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. That's exactly where you'll have a chance to share rainfall reports. I think we're going to have some of that coming our way. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us on our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Holy peapods, it's a little crisp out there this morning, buddy.
It's a little crispy this morning, especially in the west. I mean, northeast Iowa, southeast parts of Minnesota, and western Wisconsin, Buffalo, Trempealeau, Eau Claire, Chippewa County. They had that freeze warning until 8 a.m., south central and southeast Wisconsin with a freeze watch from midnight tonight till 8 a.m. tomorrow. It will get colder in south and eastern Wisconsin tomorrow. Couldn't help but see that full moon out the window this morning. That means skies are clear. And of course, that does mean we'll have a more sunny day, but the temperature is not quite so mild like yesterday. A little cooler today, but then clear skies and sunshine tomorrow. We start to warm up. The next system is low pressure that's going to move right east in into Nebraska, as we make our way into Friday. On the approach of that system, clouds develop, and I expect we'll talk about rainfall for Friday and Friday night into Saturday. And that's where we'll get those rainfall amounts. I think we're going to start at least into Friday and Friday night, talking upwards of 1/4 inch, if not a little bit more. And then we could add that 1/4 inch Saturday, and even on into Sunday, we may be talking rain amounts upwards of 1 inch or 1.5 inches as we wrap up the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Just in time for the grilling season, Bavaria Sausage expanding their retail hours. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke here, fresh off a visit to Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, now open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Those are the expanded days of operation, giving you wonderful opportunities to step in and get ready for your grilling supplies, like their always popular red lager beer brats. Take a look at the smoked bratwurst. Maybe you're looking at some of the pre-cooked bratwurst they've got available. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it ready for the grill. And check back often, because I'm really impressed with some of the new flavors that are being developed by Bavaria Sausage. Always with respect to the old world traditions, but also adding a new zing to some of our traditional favorites, like Landjagers. Start shopping now, BavariaSausage.com. All right, Stu, let's talk a little bit about this. What is our normal temperature supposed to be about this time of year?
Believe it or not, we should be in the very upper 30s or about 40 at daybreak, and daytime highs are in the low 60s.
Wow. Yeah, we're not going to hit that today.
No, not going to do that at all. Our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update does, of course, include that freeze warning in northeast and northeast Iowa, southeast Minnesota, and western Wisconsin. That's until 8 this morning. And I expect that although there may be a few clouds in the east, more sunshine develops for the day. Temperatures in the mid-50s, upper 50s try to build in the west. Northeast winds today 5 to 10. The freeze watch in effect tonight, southern and southeast Wisconsin until 8 a.m. on Thursday. I expect clear skies, a cool night, 30 or upper 20s many places, southeast winds at 5. After a little frosty start in the east, sunny tomorrow, and low 60s develop, southeast winds 5 to 10. And then by Friday, that rain chance, showers maybe in the morning in the west, later in the day east, temperatures pushing to 60 p.m., southeast winds a windy on Friday, 30-35 mile per hour gusts.
Yee, wicked. All right. Well, I'll check in with you tomorrow. We'll start getting the rainfall reporters informed for what's coming later this week.
Well, yeah, we can get that frost report tomorrow.
There we go. Okay. Thanks, buddy. See you later.
See ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Wednesday. Compure Financial is your financial partner. Committed to agriculture in rural America. Go to compure.com. Find all the resources there. Rainfall reporters, get your game on.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You work hard at your game because for you, it's not just a game, it's your passion. But that plateau feels like an eternity.
Level up with Carbon World Health's state-of-the-art recovery modalities. Restore your body and mind with cryotherapy, red light therapy, vitamin drips, and more. Embrace your athletic journey with Carbon World Health, a hormone health and fitness spa.
Madison West and CarbonWorldHealth.com.
Have you ever had an MRI through the hospital where you're crunched inside a scary tube-like tunnel? MH Imaging in Middleton provides the spacious comfort of a completely open design MRI, the most updated concept in MRIs. It's an open MRI, open for everyone, regardless of insurance or doctor affiliation, for a fraction of the cost of a medical system. And the results are available the same day, providing you with answers you need to know now. Visit MHImaging.com.
You know, Will, a lot of people say we sound alike.
I'd have to agree with them, Dad.
Well, the two of you may sound alike, but you sure don't look alike.
And your roof doesn't have to look like everyone else's. Allow Sweetle Metal Roofing to transform yours.
See what one will look like on your home.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweetle Metal Roof.
S-W-I-T-A, metalroofing.com.
Sweetle Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
Have you heard about our Rejuvenation Clinic Body Suite? If not, now is the time to learn more.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Non-surgical aesthetic body treatments have progressed greatly in the last 10 years. We are proud to offer the best devices on the market that deliver incredible results. M-Sculpt Neo treats unwanted body fat and builds muscle mass. Cool Sculpting Elite reduces stubborn fat bulges and has multiple applicators to treat many areas of the body. M-Cella is a revolutionary electromagnetic chair that strengthens pelvic floor muscles to treat mild to moderate urinary incontinence. Our providers love to analyze your concerns and come up with the best treatment plan for you, oftentimes even using a combination approach so you get the best results.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
To learn if our Body Suite treatments can help you, call Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie.
Strange popping sounds coming from your jaw when you eat? Neck or facial pain? Unexplained headaches or migraines? Grinding your teeth or sleep apnea? These could be caused by TMJ disorder, the dysfunction of the jaw muscles and joints. The TMJ and Sleep Center takes a non-invasive, people-friendly approach to realigning your jaw muscles and joints using neuromuscular measurements and custom treatment plans. No surgery, no daily medications. To learn more or schedule a free consultation, visit TMJPainCenter.com.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
I
didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
The stage is set, the crowd is holding its breath, and here we go. The tip-off for tonight's meal is underway, and Spudley waits no time, dribbling that Wisconsin potato, sprinting to the kitchen, weaving around pots and pans, and making a clutch shot right in the oven during this thrilling dinner menu matchup. Now, here's a meal that's certainly living up to the hype. Celebrate your own victories in a big way.
High five, Spudley.
EatWisconsinPotatoes.com.
We're known for our sweet moves, but what you might not know is that we can store your stuff too. Yep, from one day to one year. We can hold on to your things on our trucks or in our warehouse. This is Brenda from Mad City Moving. We call that the unexpected storage move.
Mad City Moving dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like these before.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
What's the word for, because you're heading down right now to some more spring ball. It's almost over. What is this, practice 10?
11. Practice 11.
Oh, nice, RJ.
Got it.
11.
11 of 15.
How's spring ball looking?
I've been
following on the camp.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, RJ.
My favorite podcast.
Good teammate. going well. I don't know. Spring ball is always tough because what exactly are they trying to accomplish? Are they trying to figure out who's going to be starting, outside linebacker? What are they trying to accomplish? And Wisconsin, at least in this spring, has been trying to accomplish is not necessarily trying to find those guys like who's going to be starting, but trying to build depth and trying to find who guys are 1A and 1B, like that type of thing, as opposed to locking in starting positions. And spring ball in the past has been a little bit about that, but it's really about finding who's going to potentially in the fall. And I think if that's the goal, they've started to kind of figure out some of the guys that will be able to do that.
Hey, Zach, before I ask you quick on the new transfer that the Badgers got on the offensive line, are the Badgers going to have a spring ball game?
They will not.
They're not.
They do not have a spring
game. How am I going to get my old Dutch chips?
Good question. You mean all the leftover chips that nobody else wanted?
No spring game?
The flavors were a little bit left a little bit to be desired there. I felt like that was a bunch of chips that nobody wanted, so they gave them away.
Was it like sea salt and vinegar?
Original.
I like original.
Original's actually pretty good.
That's my favorite original.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was ones that I've never seen actually sold in a store. Jalapeno? So, RJ, as I said, I don't remember.
So no spring ball game. Wow.
If you want to keep asking, we can do that. No spring ball game because Camp Randall is still under renovation. Not renovation, but the field's being replaced. They're putting a heating thing underneath the field, and they don't want to put the field back on top until after graduation. So
how am I supposed to freak out if Tyler Van Dyke throws 5 interceptions like Tanner Mordecai did?
Luckily, you're not going to have to do that. Yeah. So they are going to – I know that they are planning to open up a practice in fall, so people will be able to come down and watch the team there. But, yeah, unfortunately, no spring game, per se, in terms of, like, having people and all that good stuff. Wow. Have there been any announcements on a timeline on that, when that's supposed to be finished? I think they're pretty much done installing it. Okay. I think they're just waiting to because I saw some pictures, and it's not like they're digging down inside anymore right now. So looks like it's got a top on it. Now maybe they're just waiting to after graduation to.
I just got a Twitter tweet right here. Our guy Beers and Tacos says no spring game. We need to riot.
Wow,
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know where people want it.
I think he's
place.
A fan
like,
of old Dutch chips. Some Pepsi.
Yeah, we found another one. There was some thought that maybe they'll do it at Edgewood, but they have because they were supposed to potentially practice a few times at Edgewood, and they have not done that so far.
Neighborhood became pretty
not
pissed.
Not saying that they won't, but there's only two Saturdays. I mean, there's only one Saturday practice left, so it feels unlikely that's what's going to end up happening. But
hey, Zach, That's disappointing for some people, especially if you want to get the kids out, take a picture of Bucky. Zach, what's the skinny on this new transfer from Vanderbilt that the Badgers got on the O-line?
A guy that has not played a ton of football, but is familiar with offensive line coach A.J. Blazek. He played for him at Vanderbilt the last 2 years. Had a pretty good offer list coming out of high school, out of Florida. He also had actually an offer from Cincinnati when these guys were at Cincinnati, so there's some familiarity there as well. Wisconsin needs depth on the offensive line. Their first team line is fine. If they stay healthy, they'll be all good. but if they run into some injury-wise, they've got a lot of the inexperience behind their first-team unit, and that is obviously not ideal at that position. So they need depth, and they need older depth, and I think Leighton Nelson kind of gives that to them a little bit. I also don't think they're done in the transfer portal and adding depth to the.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Here, money grows in rows. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
I hope you covered up your rows if you've got anything early out in the garden or sensitive posies that you wanted to protect. Farmers can't really cover up 40 acres plus out there, but we do have a frost freeze advisory in effect till about 8 a.m. on this Wednesday. So some of that sensitive vegetation could be impacted if you didn't try to protect it. I'm Pam Yonke, by the way. Thanks so much for coming along for the ride on a Wednesday. Speaking of who's coming along for the ride, Monday was Earth Day, right? But we're kind of celebrating Earth Week all week long here on the Midwest Farm Report. Stephanie Hoff's catching up with some producers eager to share their stories about what they're doing every day in their farming practices to recognize how critical their relationship is with the earth. Stick around for that. So today is the 24th day of April. What can I tell you? Let's see, on this day in 1957, the Suez Canal reopened after the Suez Crisis. It was a conflict between Egypt on one hand, France, the United Kingdom, and Israel on the other. It started in October of 1956 when Egypt basically said the canal would be nationalized. Well, it reopened on this day in 1957, but again, Suez Canal, one of those sticking points even to this day, trying to get freight moved around the world. Happy birthdays. Let's see. Happy birthday today to Kelly Clarkson. She's 42. Singer, actress, Barbara Streisand. She's 82. Actress, comedian, dancer, Shirley MacLaine is 90 years young today. And now you know. It's a Wednesday, and that means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com. Great website to get you started if you're looking to shop or looking to list. And also, remember, you can always give them a call if you've got questions. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Yoon from the Steffes Group joining me on a Wednesday. And it looks like you're coming around Wisconsin later this week, huh, Ashley? Friday down at the Josh and Gretchen Camps operation just outside of Darlington with a cow-calf auction, some beautiful beef Angus. Tell me a little bit about that one.
Yeah, they've got a nice registered herd of black Angus cattle. So quite a number of heifers and cow-calf pairs are going to be sold there. And that'll be in the morning starting at 10 o'clock. And then right at 12:30, just after we get done with the cattle, we're going to sell a full line of equipment.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm just looking. If you want to see the cattle online, folks, just pop on over to steffesgroup.com and enter in camps, K-A-M-P-S, and you'll go right to their page. And it's very rare, Ashley, that we're seeing these kinds of cow-calf pairs going to market, I mean, or going to sale for people as opposed to going to market. You know what I mean? This beef cattle market is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, and that would indicate why we have so much interest in this sale. And again, they're registered, so we've got all the pedigrees printed out. I just looked at the book this morning the girls have put together. So if you're a registered bidder on-site, you'll be able to see that. Something unique about this is if you're an online bidder, you still have links to all the videos of the cattle on a per lot basis, which is kind of neat.
I might have to come down there and say hello to Josh and Gretchen myself. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. That's where the sale is going to be this Friday starting at 10 a.m. If you are looking for Angus cattle, this is the place to be. Registered black Angus cattle, cow-calf pairs that are going to be sold starting 10 a.m. in Darlington and online. Get the details now. Steffesgroup.com or give them a call if you're confused. Need a little help. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group.
Rural Mutual Insurance.
keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Our travel compass is pointed east. Hello, everyone. Farm Director Pam Yonke inviting you to join me on our captivating Cape Cod tour, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a tour of a nearby dairy, then a ferry ride to Martha's Vineyards where we'll meet alpacas, plus an unforgettable sand dunes adventure. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information and to watch a travel show, or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's
BioVet.
Welcome back on a Wednesday morning. Well, it looks like the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association getting ready for some change. They have announced that their current executive director, Tom Lochner, who has been a service to the industry for 35 years, has announced he's going to retire this summer. In the meantime, though, he is going to help with the transition of the new executive director. Wisconsin Cranberry Growers have announced Dr. Grant Holly is going to begin starting mid-May working with Lochner to transition in as their executive director. Holly is an experienced executive director and international consultant with a great track record working with companies in the agriculture sector. Now, you got to keep in mind, the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers in Wisconsin is made up by 250 producers on 21,000 acres across 20 different counties in central and northern regions of Wisconsin. Cranberries make the largest fruit crop in the state, both in terms of size and economic value. And remember, Wisconsin leads the nation when it comes to cranberry production by quite a little bit. So congratulations, Tom Lochner, on a fantastic career, and welcome in Dr. Grant Holly as their next executive director. Markets this morning, not real impressive in overnight electronic trade. December corn right now is unchanged, 475. November soybeans currently penny lower at 1173. July wheat is down 4, 599 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, we had no change on barrel or block cheese. Double A butter, though, did slip another 3 cents, 297 a pound. The May Class 3 milk this morning is down 13 at $18. June milk down 14. Currently at 1808 a hundredweight. You know, when you're looking at those kinds of numbers every day in your life and a lot of years where margins are so very tight, being a farmer, being involved in agriculture, you really have to persevere. And that's just talking about the elements you know are going to be against you, like weather and the marketplace. But there are physical challenges, too, that can be presented through the course of your farming career. Charity Seebecker's got a very motivating story about a young woman that decided her passion for being involved in the rodeo would persevere over paralysis. Charity?
Growing up in the agriculture industry, you may have heard the phrases like cowboy up or cowgirl up. I know I did. But for Amberlee Snyder, her will to cowgirl up is stronger than most. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Amberlee is a professional barrel racer that turned tragedy into triumph as she shows just how resilient the agriculture industry really is.
A little bit on my story is I've loved horses my whole life, and I was started rodeo when I was 7 years old. By the time I made it into high school, I'd won a world all-around title and, you know, was trying to get myself ready for the pro rodeos when I was involved in a rollover truck accident, which left me paralyzed from the waist down. 18 months after that, I returned to competing with a seatbelt on my saddle and am now the only professional paralyzed barrel racer in the United States.
So what was that moment that you decided to not let your accident define you and kind of get back on the horse, figuratively and, you know, literally?
You know, for me, I think it just comes down to if you love something, you just can't give it up. And so I knew I wanted to get back on a horse. I didn't know exactly how it was going to go. And I think that was the tricky part, is that once I got on, I realized how hard it was actually going to be. And so that was really the process of, okay, how can I mentally be ready for this? Not only physically, seatbelts on my saddle, realizing that it's going to be different and make those adjustments. You know, I don't even know if I could say there was like one turning point. It's really just been a roller coaster.
So how has your perspective then changed of the industry?
My perspective of the industry, well, I mean, for me, I think my love of horses and appreciation for the teammates that they are for us, and not that I didn't have it before, but has 100% grown. I mean, now my horses are truly my legs, you know, they're my freedom and what I get to do when I'm not in my wheelchair. So that's huge. And to honestly be surrounded by people who get that, I think that's my favorite part about the horse industry is, you know, from one crazy horse girl to the next, it's like, I get it. I get why you rely on them and you love them and you're willing to do so much for them.
And as a speaker, what message do you hope people get from your story?
Oh, when I hope people hear me speak, I hope that they recognize that everyone has challenges and it doesn't always have to be something that you see. You know, I get people can see mine, but everyone's going to face something and it might be on the inside. But regardless of what you face, you have been given the tools and you have the ability to overcome it and work through it. And through your ability to do that, you're going to inspire and motivate others to continue as well. I would just say, even whether it's in the rodeo arena or out, I just like to tell people, make sure you love your horse first and the sport second, because that truly is your teammate and that is the one that gets to give you what makes you happy.
That was professional barrel racer Amberly Snyder. She added that regardless of your life situation, you need to set the goals to overcome the challenges thrown in your path, because life's little moments can become the biggest parts of your journey. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. For spring projects of all sizes, we get you the right products at the right prices. Like select 50-pound bags of AgriMaster poultry feed, $13.49. 2.5 gallons of Gordon's Weed and Feed fertilizer, $56.99. Save $250 on a 30-inch Cub Cadet rear engine riding mower and a 6-foot square Shelter Logic shed in a box, $139.99. We get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Sometimes it's nice to let the kids have their own space downstairs. It's also pretty awesome to expand that basement into usable living space or entertainment area. Actuate Improvement will transform your basement into a livable area everyone can enjoy. Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
Buying a really good piece of jewelry may seem intimidating, but not after you talk with William Thomas. They take the time with you so you know your money is well spent, not overspent. Their decades of knowledge shine almost as brilliantly as the stunning stones in your custom piece. Come see the collection of gorgeous gems and choose one for your very own.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry, your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Celebrating 30 years of brilliance.
Every time you saw her, she pinched your right cheek. She gave you a peppermint candy and that special wink. You loved Aunt Gladys. But now the boxes of precious moments, stacks of encyclopedias, and heavy outdated furniture is making you crazy.
At Two Men in a Junk Truck, we don't just remove junk. We restore your sanity. Experience the calm after the clutter. Visit twomeninajunktruck.com today for your free estimate.
Keep what you love. Ditch what you don't.
Midwest Farm Report.
From field to fork and everything in between is why the kids from Wisconsin say it's a great way to start your day.
Oh, I'd love to hear the voices of the kids from Wisconsin serenading us on a Wednesday. We are 100 days out from the Wisconsin State Fair, State Fair Park in West Allison. Remember, the celebrating continues. We're really focused in this year on the iconic cream puff and the vision that a lot of folks have with that cream puff. It creates memories. It brings people together, and they want you to get ready to celebrate the 100 days until the Wisconsin State Fair. They've refreshed the image of the Wisconsin original cream puff and are really looking forward to consumers getting a chance to enjoy. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later today. Jill Albaness from the Wisconsin State Fair staff catching up with me to talk about our century sesquicentennial farm salutes, all those farms and homesteads across the state that will be recognized for being in the family 100 or 150 years. We'll talk a little bit about the numbers, the applications, what counties seem to be moving ahead as far as that recognition. And I'll be bringing those informational tidbits to you coming your way tomorrow. Also tomorrow, don't forget, we'll catch up with our friends from Everegg, Bryce Windecker, broker analyst, going to take a closer look at all things dairy. So look forward to that too. And as always, we invite you to sign up for our daily e-newsletter. Then you don't have to worry about where you are. We'll send you all the latest Wisconsin food and farming news directly to your inbox. Just get signed up for our daily e-newsletter at MidwestFarmReport.com. Wrapping it up on a Wednesday morning, we want to continue the emphasis and conversation about Earth Day. Although the individual day was Monday, every day is Earth Day on our Wisconsin farms. And there are a lot of passionate young farmers out there that want to share that message. Stephanie Hoff caught up with one.
Farmers make up less than 2% of the population, but they are responsible for feeding the world. And that's why preserving natural resources for generations to come is vital in agriculture. For farmers, Earth Day is every day. Brooke Trustum joins us in studio. She's the sixth generation on her family's dairy farm in Evansville, Larson Acres. Brooke, you've told me this before. Your farm celebrates Earth Day every day, both in the barn and in the field. How?
A few years ago, we switched and went away from using tanker trucks to haul our manure from the farm to the fields. And we did that for the overall benefit of our community and to be more sustainable with our roadways, especially. Our roadways and just keeping more trucks off the road. We switched to a 5 miles of a 10-inch drag line. So that way we're able to keep less trucks off the road. We do still have trucks coming in and out of the farm, but that way we're able to make a bit of an impact to better our community overall.
Can you ballpark for us just how many trips that you've reduced or how many trucks that you've taken off the road by switching to a drag line?
When we were using the tankering trucks, we were running probably 4 trucks in and out of the farm 12 hours a day. So they were taking load after load. Oh, geez, probably had to be 50 loads of truck at least a day.
How many cows do you have on the farm?
We have 2,500 cows. So we milk 2,500 cows and run about 5,500 acres owned and rented land.
So that's one way that you're able to better use the nutrients that come out of the cow. Yep. How else are you using those nutrients in a sustainable way?
Yep. So we're using the nutrients that come from the cow. So we get the milk from the cow, then we also get the other stuff. So we get the manure. And we're able to use that to applicate onto our fields. So we're able to use that and kind of fork it into the ground. So you're making sure that those nutrients are properly applied to the land, making sure that it's getting right to the point of where it's going to work for the best for our crops.
And that's not the only thing in the barn that you guys are doing with conservation in mind or environmental sustainability in mind. The bedding for the cow is another way that you can do better for the planet, right?
Yep. So we like to tell people that our cows sleep on the beach. Our cows every day go to the parlor and then they come back and they take a nice cozy nap on the beach with our recycled sand. We went from having 30 truckloads in and out of the farm of sand every single day to now only bringing in maybe 1 load a day to keep that sand replenished. With the sand we're recycling, we're able to bring it to the site where we separate it from the manure, wash it, and then wait for it to dry 3 days, and then take it back into the barns where the cows get to lay on it and be nice and comfortable.
We talk about how farmers are the original conservationists, because if they weren't, there wouldn't be a sixth generation on the farm. I was wondering if you could give us a history on the family farm, maybe when the first conservation practices started that led to you being on the farm.
So our farm started back in 1957, and we're really proud of how we've grown and how we've developed our, whether it's our crops, our cows. For example, we went from 120 cows to 1,800 cows about 25 years ago. And we're really excited about how that growth and that expansion has allowed us to not only provide for everybody on the in the family that is wanting to get involved on the farm, but also being able to provide now 75 jobs in our community. Today's farms really focusing on providing economic resources to your community, because we're providing that many jobs and that many people then going back into our community to continue to sustain it. Along with that, another example of how we're sustainable on our farm is our cows now produce more milk than they ever have before. And that's through different genetics. That's through their family history. We have the history records on all of our cows. So we're able to kind of watch how they've developed over time. And we're proud to say that our cows now produce about 100 pounds a day average.
Doing more with less. Farmers are among the first to adopt practices that reduce emissions, enrich the soil, and protect the water, all while producing more food, fiber, and fuel than ever before. Brooke Trustum along with us. She is the sixth generation on her family's dairy farm, Larson Acres, in Evansville, Wisconsin. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.